HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
The HIV Hour, every first and third Thursday at 7pm, repeated throughout the month. Check Radio Reverb's schedule on the website radioreverb.com, 97.2 FM DAB+. At social media, social pages or Twitter and Instagram at HIV_hour and join our Facebook pages at HIV Hour Reverb. Contact us on HIVHour@gmail.com. You can listen and subscribe to our famous podcast. Type in HIVHour at Spotify, iTunes and Deezer and Apple Podcasts. To listen to the full HIVHour show, go to the our website, Listen Again page, the HIVHour, positively helping to change hearts and minds.
Well done, Sue.
It's your turn today, isn't it?
Oh, that was a mouthful, on this hot afternoon in Brighton. But that was a mouthful, yes.
Me and David are...
We have a lot of social media pages, don't we? It's lovely.
Yes.
And we have great responses from our listeners.
Yeah, we do.
It's nice to remind people that where we are and how to find us.
Exactly.
Yes. And about our famous podcast, of course.
I know.
Just to say, before we start, the starter track was the new single from Kylie.
Yeah.
We were looking forward to her new album whenever it's due.
Yeah, I think it's the end of September, I think.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm. I think it'd be a good one, actually, this time, maybe.
She's had some good hits off in the past, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She can fill a dance floor, can't she?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Welcome to today's show. Mm. How is everyone that we've got? Who've got in the studio? We've got Sue.
Yay!
And David, hello.
Hello.
Unfortunately, we're trying to get Stephen on over the phone, but we keep on having issues with the technology here.
The and,
we could hear Stephen, but he couldn't hear us. So, sorry, Stephen. We will get the
we will sort that out, won't we? Might be a bit more challenging than what we may think it is, but we will get there.
It's probably just a button or something.
Yeah, just switch that one.
We've tried it today. The next time.
Yeah, I'm looking at the desk that Josh has sat in front of, and there's so many buttons and slidey things and knobs and things.
Knobs and things, yeah.
Speak for yourself.
No, I'm confused.
So how's your week been, Sue?
Yeah, we were just chatting to David just before we went on air. It's obviously, because obviously schools and colleges are back.
Yes.
And I've been doing a lot of freshers' fairs. That means students that are doing their first year at college, and a lot of the colleges are sort of putting on these freshers' fairs of information, and just to get, you know, because you can imagine... coming off from school, then going to college for the very first time. It's obvious, and I've been speaking to loads of young students at the Brighton College at Pelham Road. And what I love enjoy doing is, you know, talking about sexual health, keeping safe, having fun in the city, and making sure they're getting tested, and, you know, just giving them that information, giving them all the funny flavoured condoms and all the things, just to engage. And I really love that because, you know, I want our young people, especially when they're starting in Brighton for that first time, it's daunting anyway, So it's been quite a full week at the moment. I've got a few more to do before the end of the week, but first week of normally it's, so I've been quite sort of exhausted with that in this heat.
I know we've got the heat
in the heat as well.
We shouldn't complain, but it's like from one extreme to the other, isn't it?
I know.
It's my fault because only a few days ago. I put away the suntan lotion for another year, and I just tempted fate.
That's your fault then.
I put my skimpy shorts and pop socks in away in the drawer along with the suntan lotion. And here we are, another heat wave. But it's
nice. Goes away.
Funny enough, I remember my freshers' fair.
Do you?
So many, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's amazing, you know, because you discover that, you know, it's not just the chess club or the rugby club.
No.
It's all these wonderful clubs, the lesbian and gay society. But also being able to have adult conversations about sexual relationships with adults who aren't teachers, who aren't your parents.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously you've arrived in a new town, you're exploring yourself and other people, hopefully, if you're lucky.
I'll tell you what was so fabulous, because, you know, we do lots of talks in schools. And one of the students came up to me and they said, I remember you from school. I said, oh, what school did you go to? And it's one of the schools we visit in Worthing, which is just along the road from us. And that, and I'm seeing that so much more now, Dave, and it's so great because obviously we're delivering HIV and sexual health information at that school, and then obviously they've obviously remembered it, they remembered us, they remembered what we, oh yeah, you had, we had some amazing stories. And that's really, I take that as a really positive thing that our young people are taking this information in, and they're going into college, and which is that step up to, you know, things happening in their lives and those changes, and they're remembering that stuff from school, and it's so important. Yeah. And as and I thank, oh, you know, happened last year. I had loads of from different schools in Brighton. Oh, yeah, I went to.
Oh, it's great to have that feedback.
It is. Yeah. And I thought, oh, my, I must be doing a good job.
Yeah.
Well, you're, you know, are we are doing a good job. Yes, and that's just so rewarding, as one would say. But, yeah.
So that's it, yeah. So shall we, what's going on the show? I'm all right, actually. Just
how are you, by the way?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm fine.
Apart from turning into a sticky, sweaty puddle.
Oh.
Like the rest
sticky,
of us.
Very sticky. I'm very sticky and very sweaty.
Oh, okay.
That's what's been happening.
It's a good job it's radio, not television, because you wouldn't want to see
it. I'm all right. I've got a friend staying at the moment doing my studio up, so it's quite nice. Yes. So it's getting there slowly.
Right, great.
But what else? Got a few things coming up. I can't really think. Actually.
Yeah, it's too hot to think, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. Should we not think? Mm.
No, let's not think. Let's just do.
What's on the show?
Be a human being, not a doing.
Yes.
What's on the show today? I think we've got several stories, haven't we? I'd like to talk about a preview about World AIDS Day 2023.
Which is looming, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe, Sue, you've got a story about a possible cure.
Well, there's a few things. There's lots of stuff in the media at the moment about this new possible cure. We're going to look at that. Mm. We're going to look at some of the findings, and we're going to just have a chat about it and see what we think. There's lots and lots of stuff about this particular story. So, and also I'm going to be talking about the University of Bristol, that the whole of the UK has been awarded £5 million for research. So I'm going to be talking about that, which is really interesting as well.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Stephen's going to do, because he can't come on the show live, he's going to just pre-record his story. He's going to say, it's about homelessness, actually. So. So that'll be on the show later. And I'm going to do a little, because we talked about this last time, isn't it? Getting older with HIV. And I saw a programme on London News, and they were talking about LGBTQ people in elderly care homes, and some of them have been abused.
Oh, no.
Because of the state. And so it kind of brought up a thing about, what's that going to be like for people with HIV?
Exactly.
How's that going to manifest over the years about... Will it be hard to be in a care home? So, how easy will it be?
Mm-hmm.
So I've looked online. There's something from Thailand that's a little story like that. But it's always for future shows. I was going to say, if anyone has a story or wants to talk about that, always contact us on our social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our email, hivhour@gmail.com.
That is the one.
You're listening to the HIV Hour, which is broadcast every first and third Thursday at 7 p.m. How are you, folks? Let's hear the story from Sue.
Yeah, right. Okay, here we go. This is one of the headlines. HIV cure on the horizon? A massive question mark. Study finds potential HIV cure using cancer drug. So Australian researchers have found that a medicine used to treat blood cancer can kill silent HIV cells and delay the recurrent in a milestone preclinical discovery that could lead to a future cure for the disease.
Wow.
So antiviral therapy, the standard management of HIV, can remove traces of the virus from the blood, but in a hidden reservoir of HIV persists in cells of patients on treatment. This means patients are never completely cured and need to be on HIV drugs for the rest of their lives. So most HIV patients on antiviral drug treatments have little to zero chances of passing on the virus that would lead to normal held the light, which that is amazing, and we're all very thankful of that,
yes,
aren't we? Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Yes.
But the virus is never eliminated from their cells fully, explains Dr. Olivia Mito, who offers HIV care and treatment and who was not part of the research. This is because some of the virus sleeps dormantly in the immune system cells, ready to replicate when ARV's use is withdrawn and therefore cannot be eliminated, he says. So you cannot attack an enemy you cannot see or detect unless they get out of the hiding places. These dormant infected cells are why people with HIV require lifelong treatment to suppress the virus. So being able to stop HIV from hiding would be an important part of finding a HIV cure. And now the cancer drug, and this is, let me make sure I say this correctly, it's venetoclax. It's VENETOCLAX. That's what it's called.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Has been shown to kill hibernating HIV-infected cells.
Wow, that's amazing.
Led by the Walker and Elizabeth Hall Institute of Medical Research. And, yeah.
Which country is that, Sue?
Australia.
Yeah,
right, and right. There's a lot of stuff being done in Australia. Yeah, right. I know that for a fact. Yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah, I've heard about these dormant reservoirs.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? I mean, so it's all over the HIV news at the moment. Mm. So that's just one of, you know. So basically they found a cancer drug that treats blood cancer.
Mm. Yeah.
That could possibly be effective in killing the HIV cells.
Wow.
That's what we're talking about. So we can't brush it off. I mean, there's obviously been quite a lot of information and sort of there seems to be quite a lot of documentation about it and obviously research into it. Mm. Obviously, they've been looking at this for quite a long time for them to even come out and say this at the moment.
Mm. Scientists are very cautious.
We found that on Monday and this is what's happening and it's now Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? It's not now. I'm being facetious, but, that we're talking about probably months and months and even perhaps even years.
Yeah, years.
So apparently the clinical trial on humans using Venetoclax to treat HIV will start at the end of the year in Denmark.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, with plans to expand the study in Melbourne in 2024.
Right.
So, a study's going to go out.
Not far away, isn't it? Yeah, not far away in time.
No. No.
No. Whilst we're undetectable, it's not a long time to wait, is it?
No.
Before successful treatment, obviously, we know time is a lot more precious. Well, it still is for everybody, but you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is it a tablet? I haven't got this far. Is this tablet or how is it?
I haven't sort of that seen far. That, but yeah. Obviously in the form of, they haven't said it would have been the form of an injection or tablet. Yeah, I don't know. It's shown promise beyond currently approved treatments.
This
looks,
is more than a treatment. This is a possible cure.
Yeah,
there's gone into vaccines, hasn't it?
It's looking a probability of a possibility.
A glimmer of light.
Yeah, and the thing is, okay, you know, we've heard so many things happening over the last few years. You know, the man that was cured, the woman that was cured,
the Berlin patient, the London patient,
and what have you, Have you ever heard of an elite controller?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, one of my speakers is an elite controller.
Really?
So basically, this person is undetectable and not on medication and living with HIV.
Yeah.
And I used to have a partner that was an elite controller. And I didn't believe this was years ago, and I didn't believe until I'd done my research.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm elite controller. I said, where's your medication? You know, we've been out for a while.
Does that mean they don't get ill? I don't...
Yeah. They just carry their body.
So our bodies always fight HIV, but because HIV hides inside the cells that are supposed to kill it, it always gets the upper hand. But elite controllers, somehow their body is able to recognise HIV much more effectively and suppress it naturally without antiretrovirals, which is an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
They're very rare people, but they do exist.
And, I've met two, so I'm quite privileged in that.
Yeah.
when I've got.
There's something obviously in their metabolism. All that.
Yes.
So lots of they take part in a lot of clinical trials where they get samples of their blood and they sort of analyse to see what's different about them and see how that can be transferred into modern medicine. Yeah.
It'd be good to get someone on the show. So
exactly.
Well, if you know one, if they're willing. Listeners, if you know an elite controller, please ask them to get in touch.
It sounds like. Do you know what I thought of?
It sounds like
Thomas the Tank. Thomas the Tank. Thomas the Tank. Yeah, it's a elite controller. Not
with
HIV, but an elite controller.
All getting excited in the studio.
Elite controller. But, interesting, isn't it? And it's always interesting. You know, looking at the advancements. You know, we do get incredibly excited, and it's really positive to see that things are happening possibly.
We've had to manage our expectations so much over the last few decades. There have been promises, and it is a really tricky virus. It's a really simple virus, but it's a really tricky virus to try and combat.
Can I ask you a question? How would you feel if there was a cure?
I'd jump for it.
How would you make it feel? I mean, it's quite strange feeling.
Because someone's asked me a very similar question before, and what would I do? To take my HIV away?
You got so used to.
I know, it's mine.
It's like taking a shadow. It's like living without a shadow, isn't it?
Because I suppose, you know, and especially for people that have been living, say, over 10 years, and no disrespect, under 10 years, but I'm just a ballpark figure, that you've accustomed yourself, you've learned, and you've travelled so far with that journey, and you've learned, and you've been hurt and all of those things through society and community and you've learned to manage that and sort of contain it and all those things, and for someone to say,
take that away,
right? I know that's a really strange thing, but would an emptiness, would an amount of freedom?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've got all the freedom I ever want.
Maybe it wouldn't affect you at all.
I don't know.
But obviously we're very much sort of powered by our activism in trying to help other people. Yeah. So that energy's got to go somewhere.
Exactly.
So where do we put it? We have, you know, find another cause or really, you know, again, we'd have to sort of reframe our lives and the direction that we take, perhaps.
I think it's...
What's your thought? It's a good question. Josh?
I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe it might be just... it wouldn't affect me that much, maybe. I don't know. Doing the injectables, which is, I know it's not the same, but it didn't take me long to change from taking tablets to injectables. It took me a day to change in my head that I was doing injectables.
Yeah.
But I know it's a different fish. But I don't know.
But it's a mindset, isn't it, almost, as well, for longer term?
I think it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how would that change? It's difficult to answer. I mean, one of the infections that quite often is associated with HIV is... hepatitis, isn't it? And obviously, there's been great advances in treating hepatitis C. So some people, it was incurable. So maybe it's interesting if somebody has eradicated the Hep C, how would they feel? How did you feel when it went?
Sure.
Again, I didn't really think because I was on it was a while ago, 2010, I think, around that time. So I did the year-long interferon.
Yeah, that was nasty. I heard
nasty. It was hard work.
The treatment, not just the condition.
It was hard work, but I cleared it, and I'm undetectable now. So I think I felt like it was a weight off my mind. But it was a year of intenseness. It took a while for me to get over it, actually, because the drugs are quite... Because I think it's a cancer drug that we use.
Again, very similar to what's going on.
Is it Riviron? I can't remember.
So did you feel a vacancy?
Something missing?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, because I don't... because it was... I knew I'd had Hep C for a while, but not like years. But I think... because it was a year's treatment, I didn't feel so... I was just glad to get off the treatment, So there you go. I was just glad to stop, because it made you feel so bad.
Yeah, I must admit, I'd be glad not to take pills every day for the rest of my life. Yeah. It would be nice to be able to go through an airport without having a bag of pills in my luggage.
I think but it's like anything, isn't it, with the when they changed, this is different, I think I'm going off track here, but when they changed all the benefits and stuff, and want to get back, people going back into work and stuff. You got so used to doing that. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Change can be scary, but once you embrace it and do it, it can be a catalyst for great things, can't it?
Yeah.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Just to say that coming up is the Reverbathon. Oh, drop your earrings.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Reverbathon's coming back and on September 16th and 17th. So if you want to support a show, which will be really, we'd be really grateful, go to paypal.me/Radio Reverb. So we're going to do, I think Saturday is in the market, the open market in Brighton, and then Sunday is going to be at the Hope and Brewing, I think. But check out on the website, it's all on there, the details. So, yes.
So I've got a little bit of a story. So I'm going to carry on from really what Sue was talking about cures. So we know there's been vaccines. I think we mentioned about managing people's expectations. But there's another area of looking at cures is in gene therapy. And recently there's been a new company formed. So there's an existing company in America called American Gene Therapy. And they were having such promising results with some of their research and developments that they decided to create a new company with the pure purpose of creating a cure for HIV. Now, it's only just recently been formed. It's like a company within a company. And this new company is called AdImmune. So it's AdImmune. And they say the HIV cure countdown, this HIV cure countdown outlines the critical milestones accomplished so far. So it goes, so in the little timeline, they've sort of started in 2019. And they talk about sort of, this is in America, sort of the government research agreement on looking for an HIV and AIDS cure strategy. And they sort of, in April 2021, they first cleared a product for infusion. 2019, they were granted access for a second patient for unique molecule methods and cell processes. I don't fully understand the processes, they grab bits of DNA or RNA. So obviously the virus has RNA, and we as people have DNA. Mm-hmm. And what the retroviruses do is they convert our DNA into RNA. So they go inside our immune cells and convert our DNA into RNA, which is how they make more virus. So by editing genes, they can sort of break the chains by which HIV tries to replicate itself. So using traditional therapies, we use things like inhibitors, though. So HIV uses enzymes within our own bodies, such as reverse transcriptase and fusion, and there are other ones I can't remember, but it's a bit like, you know. To simply explain it, in order to have fire, you need fuel, air, or heat. We need all three to create fire. If you take one of those things out, you can't have fire. So HIV relies on mostly three enzymes, which are naturally occurring within the body. If you remove as much of the spare enzymes as possible within the body, then HIV can't use that spare enzyme to reproduce
itself. That makes
itself
a bit more sense.
So that's how
it?
That's how traditional remedies cause. But obviously, those enzymes are enzymes that we need in the body to for our normal body processes. Otherwise, they wouldn't be existing in our body. So these things called like reverse transcriptase and protease and fusion.
Me and Sue look at each other going.
So people that are on HIV therapy might recognise that I mentioned protease. A protease is so we take protease inhibitors, which mop up the excess protease in our body. So anyway, this is a completely different sort of way of looking at a cure. Sue mentioned about the using repurposing cancer drugs to change things, but this is actually looking at gene therapy. So you know, I don't fully understand it. Gene therapy is in its sort of infancy, but it will become a major sort of part of medical science, along with artificial intelligence, which will accelerate its growth by the end of the century. So you know, there's more than one way to eradicate HIV, theoretically.
Yeah.
So, you know, have a look at AdImmune's website. They explain things better than I can in layman's terms. Just do a little search for it on the search engine of your choice. And
I thought you explained it very well, considering it's all
these
big words.
Yes, you did. You did.
Well, I don't. I think that's my understanding. I'm not an expert, but
you kind of understand.
Yeah.
It's watch this space. I mean, when Sue mentioned about using cancer drugs, the patients that have been cured, and don't forget, listeners, that there are people that have been cured of HIV, but they have been very, very ill to begin with, and have very serious cancers, and have had bone marrow transfusions, which could have killed them.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Those transfusions actually cured their HIV because basically, I think it just completely wiped out an immune system.
Yes, it
and
did.
Replaced it with a new one.
Yes,
or a bit like almost like being born again.
Yes,
literally.
Uh-huh,
So obviously, when you're born, you have your mother's immune system. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you go the little switch
build
goes
up
off.
Your own. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, it's incredible how the immune system works and. Yeah. I know, and scientists are learning about the immune system so much more from just studying HIV. So,
yeah,
which is good. Which is good.
It's nice to be interesting, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, I'm fascinating. You can be interesting. I'm fascinating.
I think it's time for
and
a song.
And Sue, it's unforgettable.
It's time for a
Sue's
song.
Sue's unforgettable.
We're going down the wrong road. It's Freddie Mercury's birthday yesterday.
Oh,
yes.
Freddie. I do love Freddie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't know so when much more to give.
Did he die?
It was 1996.
So it was 20 years ago, wasn't it?
95, 96.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Because he announced that he had AIDS just days before he died, didn't he? But I think people, obviously in his close circle, knew because he'd lost a lot of weight, hadn't he?
Yeah.
But I think it was brave. You know, he didn't have to say that he had AIDS with HIV, but I think the fact that he did gave a lot of people courage. In order to share their own stories.
Yeah. Should we have a song from Queen? Another One Bites
please
the Dust.
Do. Oh.
That was a Queen, Another One Bites the Dust.
Mm-hmm.
Good song. They good Queen, weren't they?
They were. Yeah. I think he had so much more to give, didn't he?
I know.
Yes. Mm.
I know. He was a cat lover, did you know that?
No.
Oh.
He had two cats that the names that I used to have, Tom and Jerry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were called Tom and Jerry. I always remember that. Yeah, I loved him from then anyway, because he was a cat lover. But yeah, I always remember that, reading that bit.
And I've always fancied to go to Zanzibar. I don't know why, but ever since I heard that he came from Zanzibar,
I wanted to visit
Zanzibar. Yeah. So I used to work in a bar called Zanzibar back in the 1990s.
We both worked
behind the bar. I always thought, what's Zanzibar really like? Yeah. It's obviously off the coast of Africa. Mm-hmm. And he was a Zoroastrian. It was his faith.
There's more big words from
David.
I saw the dictionary today.
Yes.
Before it came out.
You draw it up again. Anyway, should we move on? So we're just going to play, because obviously Stephen couldn't get in today because of technical issues. He's recorded a little short story. It's about homelessness, I think, but he's going to explain that. So we'll listen to that now.
Hey, everybody, this is Stephen. Remember me? I feel like I haven't spoken to you all for ages, so it's nice to be able to just drop a little story in for you today, coming from Canada. And it's about homelessness linked to 44% lower odds of progressing through HIV care cascade. 15 years of data from a cohort of people living with HIV who use drugs in Vancouver, Canada, show that periods of homelessness are associated with 44% decrease in the odds of overall progression through the HIV care cascade. Specific impacts were recorded for being on HIV treatment, adhering to it, and being virtually suppressed. The study shows the impact of homelessness, even in the setting where HIV treatment and care are free of charge, and which offers support services for the vulnerable population. This means that outcomes are almost certainly worse in places with higher barriers to getting medical care and support. Researchers at the University of British Columbia published the Longitude Prospective Study in the journal AIDS. Data comes from 947 people who took part in the Access between 2005 and 2019. This is a cohort of people living with HIV who use illicit drugs, mostly in Vancouver's downtown East Side neighbourhood. Every 6 months, participants were interviewed, provided blood samples and gave permission for linkage to their medical records. Most participants were in their late 30s or 40s, two-thirds were male and just over half were white. In the 6 months before the first interview, just a third had been homeless, living on the streets. Less than one in five didn't have any employment, and under a third had been injecting drugs daily. The researchers were interested in the progression through the HIV care cascade, and this was defined by linkage to an HIV care provider, taking HIV treatment, being adherent to HIV treatment, and having an undetectable viral load. They could not look at the first stage of this care cascade, knowing your HIV status, as the cohort is only open to people who've already been diagnosed with HIV. Homelessness was associated with a 44% lower odds of progression through the care cascade. Specifically, it was also linked to 42% lower odds of being on HIV treatment, 54% lower odds of being adherent, and 41% lower odds of being undetectable. Importantly, these figures are statistically adjustment for those factors influences the result. Progression through the care cascade was also slower for people who were younger, used drug daily, injected daily drugs, drank heavily or sold sex. However, the quoted figures reflects the independent effect of homelessness. Dr. Hudson, Redden and colleagues say that the results might be explained by various mechanisms. The daily changes of security basic survival needs and taking precedence over healthcare. Lack of food and safe place to store medication make adherence more challenging. People who are homeless tend to have more mental health problems and more intense drug and alcohol use, which can both limit engagement with health services. Finally, people who are homeless may sell sex or drugs in order to survive, and the criminalisation and stigmatisation of these behaviours creates additional barriers to accessing healthcare. These findings support calls for the integration of services to address intersecting challenges of HIV, substance use and homelessness among marginalised populations, such as people who use drugs. So that report is, as I say, is from Canada. But homelessness wherever you are in the world and HIV, you know, keeping up care, I can only imagine how difficult that would be. So thank you, and back over to you guys in the studio.
Radio Reverb. So yeah, that's good. That's interesting about Stephen.
Yeah, really important issues to raise.
So I've got a story. I know we were talking earlier about getting older and how is it?
Yeah.
How's it going to affect us if we have to go into care homes and how that discrimination or stigma will? Because I did see a story on, I think it was London Tonight, that there's been more bashings in the elderly home. Home for LGBTQ people. So would that affect people with HIV? How would that affect us? But there's something in Thailand I noticed that they're trying to boost the pink economy by attracting international LGBTQ plus seniors who are looking for a place to retire.
Right.
Really? So speaking at a conference on Thailand gets ready to become a key destination for LGBT retirement, which is organised in Bangkok. I'm going to struggle with this. Dr. Shawa Songshripran. Stop laughing.
Okay.
The doctor.
The doctor.
Yeah.
Who is the founder and medical director of the SAFE Clinic, which is a HIV clinic and essentially transmitted disease, and said that Thailand could be a key retiree destination for LGBTQ people, as people in the country have a high tolerance of gender diversity.
Mm. Right. Oh, yes, they do, yeah. The ladyboys and ladybirds.
They're also known as a tourist destination for LGBTQ parties. Yeah. And, however, to be a destination, more healthcare specialists will be needed, along with more HIV and STD clinics.
Aye. Yes, yeah.
So they have fewer specialised healthcare units. This issue must be addressed before they can do that. Adding, the public healthcare system also needs easy access to antiviral drugs such as PrEP, and PEP to prevent HIV infection. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's just it's a small story, but it's how are you are you worried about that getting older?
You know what? That is one of the props, the things I do sort of think about. You know. When I get to a certain age and my daughter shoves me off in a care home because she can't, I'm joking, she would never do that, she says. But one of the things I get concerned about is not necessarily for me, because I may be, I may not be knowing what I'm doing. I may get to a situation where I'm
doolally.
Well, I need care provided and I don't, and then my family has to witness the stigma. My family has to witness still or the double gloving. My family would have to witness, them doing things that are not normal, like, treat me like a normal human being. So that's what I worry about. But, Brighton and Hove, we are going to be start doing some work in care homes.
I was going to say that about
Yes, devices, yes, we are. But there's a new... And in fact, we'll have to get Gillian Dean on again, because it's going to be with Gillian, and we're going to be working with on a project to go into care homes within really Brighton and Hove. So that and I'll bring everybody up to date on that. So, we go and deliver our HIV awareness and, like we've done with dentists, which we're still wanting to do more of dentist work. We may not already know that we've got the highest prevalence of older people living in Brighton and Hove, and that are living longer. And we may see some of the first cases of people that will enter that care system maybe starts in Brighton and Hove, because we have the highest prevalence of older people.
But it is what came out of that article for me was that people's discrimination for gay people, but also will that, and HIV, how they've been attacked and have beaten up. So it's
if other residents know of somebody's HIV status in a care home, that's a breach of confidentiality for a start. Yeah. Unless the patient or the resident themselves shares that with their
carers have to know still know that you're HIV.
Well, who's doing the beating up? Is it other residents or is it staff?
Staff.
Really?
And
I think both are criminal.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not like everyone. It's just cases.
It happens. It was a hate crime. Based on.
I know it's not in Brighton, and we're wanting to do very similar things in Brighton. But one of the things we're already doing in London is we've had care homes that have come to us for education, information. I'm talking about the Terence Siggins Trust, and it's a care home in Croydon that have literally come to us and said, we go out into the community and care for older people, into their homes and do care. And we are already going out to care for HIV positive people living with HIV, and they say we need and we want to have more information. Yeah. So we're already delivering information, and there's a specific place in Croydon. I won't say it at the moment because we were in the sort of middle of doing that, and that's great that these companies are coming to us. So basically, what's going to happen is every new person that comes on board, they're going to have that information. They're going to have that part of their induction. As a carer, so they'll be doing this, they'll be doing that. They'll part of their training. And we'd love to roll that out. So this is great. This is great news that we're already doing that in London, and we would like to do very similar things in Brighton. So, when a new carer comes on board or a carer comes on board from wherever, this is part of your induction and this is an hour of HIV education, blah, 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 in information,
That should be across the board, shouldn't it? That should be...
Yes, exactly.
It should be like...
Exactly. Yeah.
I know for a fact, Gillian Dean is one of the trustees of the Martin Fisher Foundation. And they are... they've been working with the Brighton and Sussex University Hospitals to make sure that every new employee for the hospitals, whether they be cleaner, catering staff, surgical staff, administrators, they all have to undergo HIV training as a matter of, you know, it's compulsory, it's mandatory. In fact, and occasionally, once in a while, I update my HIV training. I do it with the THT.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And I was, the last time I did it, it was about, it was, I think, a year or two before COVID. And I was surprised over 50% of the other participants that were being trained with me were care home managers or care home staff. And that was really good to see that they were being proactive.
Yeah, exactly. And
I think that's
exactly
the key, isn't it? Being proactive.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have to round. I'm doing my little...
I know, you're rounding it up with a warm waving roundness.
I'm waving. So a bit of community news before we go. THT workshops. So there's quite a lot on the in the Living Well section. So the best thing to do is to go to the THT website and... go to the Living Well section, and they've got all the different workshops that are around. So that's, I mean, it's chemsex, so there's all different kinds of ones, isn't there? So so that's tht.org.uk/livingwell. That's it. And also, apparently the My HIV is closing, isn't it, the forum, the end of September. Do you know this, Sue?
Yes, I mean, I believe it was being changed.
Yeah. So they want people to get in touch, invite people who were members of the old forum to get in contact with them. So that's tht.org.uk/news/keeping-our-stories-alive.
Yes, yes. Yes, I think it's just things are changing on how people communicate and things have changed.
Yeah.
And they're obviously not getting as many people coming onto the forum for it to be...
All different reasons as well.
Why has it changed?
It was running for 10 years, wasn't it?
Why has it changed then? Why people just learn?
It may be that people are looking at a different perspective on how they engage with people, get information.
Using the internet and social media more now.
If you look, you know, say 10 years ago.
In fact, there's been some research. In fact, I came across a YouTube video the other day, and I'll mention it in the next show, and it was about a look at the HIV, My HIV forum, and what they've learnt from it. So we'll tell listeners more about that later.
Yeah, we could have a listen to it, because, you know, it's been going for 10 years. It's quite a long time, isn't it?
Definitely,
So one more thing. There's a thing I'm DJing at. It's called Project House, which we're doing a new... It's gone to a different venue, but we're doing it fundraising for Sussex Beacon. So that's going to be on the Saturday the 30th of September, 9pm, at the Thomas Kemp. in Kemp Town. So I'll keep you posted on the next issue, next edition. But so that's we're doing it for Sussex Beacon this time. So that's that.
Great, what a good show! Thanks for listening.
Wow, well, I mean, we've done so much, and it feels like we haven't done anything. But I know we've done loads.
We have.
It's very hot as well. It's quite muggy.
Yeah, we're all hot and bothered.
We're all sticky.
Yeah.
Well, have a great weekend, and everyone.
Keep cool, everyone. Yes. Enjoy.
Bye, everyone.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.